Welcome to the Workforce Management Podcast, delivered to you by Shopwerks Workforce Solutions. The podcast that explores everything you need to know about workforce management, the technologies involved, strategies and processes, the trends and the solutions.
Hi everyone, I'm Jake Bates, Workforce Management Consultant here at Shopwerks. Welcome again to another edition of the Workforce Management Podcast. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Ian Hogg, one of our co-founders. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Jake.
So an interesting topic today, I think quite a hot topic that's kind of quite fresh on everyone's minds at the moment, compliance. I think we're kind of dig straight into it. I think talk me through just kind of workforce management, the relationship with compliance. How does workforce management help with those kind of compliance issues?
Okay, well, first thing, let's talk about what compliance is, you know, what we mean by compliance on this. I think it's about making sure that you comply with labour laws or local sort of agreements, maybe union laws or other laws you've got with your staff, but also with things like financial regulations, tax law, pension regulations. So that's what we consider by compliance. And your workforce management platform is your ideal place to go. It keeps all of the data that relates to all of that. So it records, you know, how many hours people have worked, when they worked, what role they did.
Yeah.
It knows what time they started and finished, whether they had enough gap between shifts. It calculates how much they get paid so it can update financial records. It stores the data so it has to comply with GDPR. So it is keeping all of that data in one place. And I think one of the reasons why you mentioned it's a hot topic is the last 20 years have just been an endless, you know, every year we've been in workforce management pretty much that whole time. Every year we've made changes to the platform to increase our compliance because the rules have changed and they've got more complicated. And therefore, you need a platform to support it.
Yeah, I think just kind of one of the other podcasts that we've had is around tools and how compliance manages a variety of tools. Just kind of give me a few examples of how kind of workforce management can help me comply with some of those particular kind of breaches, potential breaches.
Right. So if we did it by the sort of rules you're complying with, that's probably a good way to start. So working time directive is probably a key one.
Yeah.
Leave accruals. Okay, and maybe we'll go into in the podcast, maybe we'll go into some of these in detail, but leave accruals, you know, making sure that you've calculated how much leave people are entitled to or paid holiday people are entitled to. Pension regulations, you've got an obligation as an employer to pay pensions. You've got an obligation as a company to comply with HMRC, payroll and real-time information regulations.
Yep.
You've got accounting regulations to comply with. You've got GDPR. You've got visa regulations. You've got to make sure the people that are working in your store or in your leisure centre or wherever it is, you know, that their visa is, you know, they might have a limit on how many hours they can work.
Yeah.
So there are lots and lots of regulations that you can comply with.
Yeah. I just, for our listeners' sake, it's quite an exhaustive list. There will be a blog article at the end, which I think goes through the full list so listeners can go through.
Yeah. Yeah. I've written a blog which goes through them in detail. Okay. Very exciting it is too, Jake.
Okay, let's talk about kind of examples. So can you just kind of give me a bit of an example or trying to get a better understanding with kind of the Working Time Directive in a bit more detail?
Okay, so the Working Time Directive is a good example. So there are a number of things that you have to comply with. So for instance, between two shifts, there has to be an 11-hour gap,
yep.
Okay? There has to be a minimum amount of break. I think it's 20 minutes in a 6-hour shift. And there are things like there are rolling breaks in either a 7-day or a 14-day period.
Mm.
Okay. So if you take those particular, you know, requirements, let's take the 11-hour shift. If I build a rotor which says that I'm going to finish at 10 o'clock at night, okay, and I'm going to start at 9 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
Okay. That's compliant. If I work late for the 10 o'clock shift and the manager asked me to stay late till 10:30, we've got a breach if I start work at 9 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So the workforce management platform can absolutely see that because it providing it's you've got one with a sort of compliance module or whatever your vendor calls it. It will track that suddenly there's only a 10.5-hour gap in that example, okay? And the way that you would sort of, if you were logging into a modern workforce management platform, you know, you would expect it to sort of have a report that shows that. So yeah. Total number of potential breaches,
yeah.
Total number of actual breaches, i.e. it's not a breach. Like you can schedule somebody with a 10-hour gap, but it's not a breach until they don't have the 11-hour gap, if you see me. So that's a potential breach. And you should be able to run a report to see both of those. And the manager that is asking somebody to stay late, when they're sort of confirming their timesheet, it should alert them that there isn't enough gap between their next shift. Okay. And that's what you would expect your workforce management platform to do.
And I'm sat here as a listener, and I may be someone with 5 people or 10,000. I'm assuming, I'm looking at the leisure industry, for example, where if I'm a lifeguard on pool and my certification runs out, there's a big breach there. So just kind of, if I'm someone who's planning, just walk me through how kind of workforce management assists with that and the level of configuration that providers can offer.
Fine. So the compliance type tools will run in a number of phases. So there's, when you build a rota, it will tell you whether you've got a potential breach.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've scheduled somebody to be a lifeguard, but they are not qualified to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could either have that as a hard stop, so it just won't let you schedule them.
Yeah.
Or it can give you an alert saying, be careful, Jake can't swim. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Then you've got the, if something changes, so you've built your rota and approved it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Jake phones in sick, and then we put Ian to cover for him, and Ian can't swim either. Okay. It will show up as another potential breach. And then we, like the example we talked about where we were changing the time of the end of somebody's shifts and it was creating breaches on the fly. So there are sort of three phases. There's your planning, and it either won't let you plan it, okay, because it knows it's a breach.
Yeah.
So if you took, say, AI auto-scheduling,
yeah,
none of those tools will let you build a shift without an 11-hour gap between it. It will look over a two-week process to make sure you've had enough days off in that 2 weeks. Okay. So that won't let you make a breach. However, all of these systems have some sort of manual override. So a manager can go, Jake's sick, cover for Ian.
Okay.
That could create a breach after the AI, if you like, or the auto scheduling has built the rota.
And I think just kind of looking around, I suppose, when we know a breach has occurred, time and attendance, just talk to me about kind of how time and attendance plays into compliance. And we're not going to too much detail around the different types of time and attendance, but confirming people's hours is, I can imagine, quite a serious part of it.
Yeah. Well, if you think the rules you have to comply with, so there's the working time directive one. So please show me evidence that person had an 11-hour gap. Well, if they've checked out half an hour later than they were meant to and it's created a breach, there's evidence of it.
Yeah.
But also, you've got to comply with national minimum wage. So if somebody's checked out half an hour later, you need an accurate record, so you absolutely make sure you pay that person for that half an hour, because if you don't and they're on national minimum wage, you've probably got a breach there and a fine. So again, so time and attendance is really key to making sure you get proper, accurate data that you can then build a compliance model on top of.
And I think I make a breach. What happens?
Fine. So the final bit we talked about earlier was reporting. So you'd expect your platform to run a list and say, right, these are the number of breaches we've had. Okay. And it's pretty much impossible to prevent never have a breach. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, managers make mistakes. They're busy. You know, no matter what the tool gives you an alert on, people ignore them. And, you know, there will always be some sort of breach. As an organization, you need to report on that.
Yeah.
Understand it. Coach managers. So if you were a manager where you were consistently having breaches, it's going to show up in the report. And we could coach you to say, every time you make somebody work late, you absolutely need to check whether they have got a shift the first thing the next morning.
And if I'm sitting here with my finance hat on, I hear a lot at the moment in news is risk aversion and trying to that kind of part on it as well. So for anyone who's in finance listening, kind of how does that kind of feed into their objectives?
Well, they don't like the fines, I tend to find, the finance directors. There are some pretty, you know, onerous fines for national minimum wage breaches, working time directive breaches, particularly under 18s. If you've got under 18s in the platform, they have different working time directive and break rules to over 18s. And so, you know, what the reason you are, you know, why spend extra for a top quality compliance module, it's, you know, it's two reasons. One, you want to avoid those fines and the sort of naming and shaming that goes with it.
Yeah.
But actually, there's probably a bigger reason that, you know, retention, I'm sure, you know, as we it's a constant theme on this podcast. People haven't got enough staff. They're always looking to improve retention. Yeah. A lot of the things that you're looking to comply with, particularly around working time directive, are good for staff retention.
Yeah.
Like if you don't give people a rest between shifts, they burn out, they get fed up, they leave.
Yeah.
So actually having a tool that measures how often, and you know, I know on some of the AI tools, the retention-based tools, they are looking for how many working time directive breaches somebody have, because that has a high correlation with people resigning. So these sort of tools are all interrelated, you know, and I think that those sort of AIs can't work without a compliance module that's actually measuring how many breaches there are.
Yeah, and I think it kind of touches, if I'm operational, HR, finance, payroll, it kind of feeds into all of them. Look, really interesting. I think it's definitely a topic which people can learn more. As I said, there's a blog article. If people do want to do a deeper dive, feel free to get into touch with one of us. But thanks for coming on. And yeah, hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much, Jake.